Come on, let's take advantage of your standing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How great and wonderful it is for brethren to be gathered together in unity.
Amen.
In the house of God, where his name is, where his power dwells, and where his people fellowship, not only with each other, but with Christ himself. And so, Lord, this morning we say good morning to you. Good morning to our Holy Father. Good morning to the beloved Son. Good morning to the Holy Ghost, the triune God, the God with one God manifested in three persons. Lord, we thank you this morning because if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, now we can say like Israel, where would we be? What would our lives have become? And how far from God would we have been flown? But thanks be unto God in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we that were cast off a far way have been brought near by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you for this heat. We thank you that we have bodies which we can feel it in. We thank you that we have eyes for which we can behold the handiworks of God. Thank you for ears to hear. Thank you for hands to feel, feet to walk, mouth to talk, tongue to taste and to eat. God, we thank you. Because we realize that we have been wonderfully and marvelously made by the very hand of God. And so, Father, that we have come together to fellowship not only with ourselves, but with you. This time we give you the place of prominence. We give our attention to the Word of God. That you might say out of your Word something to encourage our hearts, to edify our spirits, and to build up our inner man so that we might be able to stand and go forward in thy name. So Lord, speak from heaven. And Father, as your preacher, at this time I decrease that you might increase. Cause me to speak not my words, but your words. And cause your words to find good ground. Spring up into everlasting life. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, all of God's people say amen.
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 Amen again. Come on, give God a hand clap. Come on, let's thank God for being God. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles this Sunday, we're in the New Testament, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. Let's give a hand for the footprints. Yay. Man, I'll never dance for you guys. If that's all I'm going to get, I ain't dancing, man. That, yo, y'all could have did better for the footprints. But thank God for them and all of their fancy dance moves. I'm sure we'll be seeing them on So You Think You Can Dance real soon. Romans 8:1. Who can quote it by heart? Anybody, raise your hand if you can quote it by, man, I'm at the wrong church this Sunday. I can tell you that, man, the footprints don't get any applause. Nobody in the church knows Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's all read it together. There is,
therefore
now
no condemnation
to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hey, let's add to the witness out of chapter 5. I'll get you off your feet. Chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Amen? Amen. You may be seated all over the church. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. We started the month out by talking about the comfort that God gives to the believers. We learned that He is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. And if there is any comfort that you receive, that comfort has in fact come from God Himself. We learned that God comforts us for the express purpose that we might turn around and do what? Comfort others. That's why He doesn't comfort us because He feels sorry for us. He doesn't comfort us because He's sad that we're going through a tough time. But He comforts us with the express purpose that we might in turn deliver that same divine comfort to someone else who is suffering similar circumstances. Second Sunday, we learned about the consolation of God. And that God provides consolation to the believers so that we can endure hardship as good soldiers. So that as we face the fiery darts of the enemy, one, we are not defeated, and two, we are not weakened or fall aside. God sends His consolation to the believers not only in this life, but also in the life to come, because in the life to come, we receive what? The consolation prize. And in this instance, the consolation prize from God is better than any victory prize that this world can offer us. So we talked about that. We talked about the comfort of God. We talked about the consolation of God. And today we're going to talk about the condemnation of God. So if we're going to have this discussion, the right place to start is, what is the biblical definition of condemnation? Right. So we got it up there on the big board for you. The biblical definition of condemnation is the divine guilty verdict. The divine guilty verdict. So let's break it down. Divine. Anytime you see the word divine, it means what? Of or pertaining to God. So this is not a guilty verdict from the third district court system. This is not a verdict from the local magistrate. This is a God decree verdict. Condemnation. The divine guilty verdict. Guilty meaning what? Not innocent. That God has found fault with you and I. That's what it means. It's not a divine innocent verdict. It's a divine guilty verdict. That after God being the righteous judge, after having hearing all of the evidence presented before Him, God sends forth not His justification, but He sends forth His condemnation, because according to the law of God, we have all been found guilty.
Amen.
And so we have this divine guilty verdict, which the writers of the Bible help us to understand that is God's condemnation. This guilty verdict has along with it a sentence of death. A sentence of death, and that not only physical death, and I'll take a moment to remind you that in the creation of both Adam and Eve, neither one of them were meant to die. The bodies that they were given by God, designed by God, they were meant to last throughout all time. They were meant to live in the Garden of Eden forever. But because of this condemnation that has now come on Adam and Eve, they began to experience first physical death. And while they may have lived 800 and 900 years, that was not the lifetime God had given them. But as a result of the divine guilty verdict, they could no longer live in God's kingdom. Not only is there physical death, but what is more important to us is that there is spiritual death. Again, using Adam and Eve as a backdrop to our understanding of God's plan, purpose for us as his creatures, is that not only were they meant to live forever, they were meant to live in the garden forever. But because of condemnation, we read it now as we get into Genesis, that now they are expelled from the garden. They are kicked out of the garden. Now again, they were meant to live forever, and they were meant to live forever in the garden. But now, because of condemnation, because of this guilty verdict from God, they are no longer able to live forever, nor are they no longer allowed to live in the place that God had built for them. Adam, through his sin, brought upon all men condemnation. And he did it by one offense. And it was his willful act of disobedience against God's word. Again, staying with that analogy, we understand and we remember what Adam did. All God told him, he said, you can have access to everything in the garden. The garden was built for you. I've planted certain trees for you. I created certain flowers just for you, and you have rights and access to all of it. But there is one tree. That's all I have. I just got one tree planted in the center of the garden. And he said, of that tree, he said, don't fool with it. He said, everything else is at your disposal. The trees, the plants, the flowers, the animals, all of it is at your disposal. But I have one tree in the center of the garden just for me. You don't have access. You don't have rights to that. But everything else is yours. And you know the story. The serpent comes along. He tempts Eve. Eve brings along Adam. And Adam takes of the forbidden fruit. And by doing so, he disobeys God's law.
Amen.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Touch your neighbor and say, oh boy. Touch your other neighbor and say, that's where it all started. And because of this disobedience, we now have in the earth God's condemnation. Since we're in Romans, let's run down the Roman roads quickly. Romans chapter 3 verses 10 and 12 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Am I right about it? This is not the preacher's word. This is God's words. God says, I have looked throughout all humanity and I have found none that is righteous. I have found none that doeth good. Isn't it funny to God? Even our good works look bad to God. Why? Because they're done out of an impure heart. Even though we may do a good act or say a good thing, it is derived out of an impure heart. And how do we know it's true? If someone doesn't receive what we do good, guess what? We all get a what? We all cop our attitude. But when you do it out of a righteous and pure heart, the joy is not in how they receive what you give. The joy is how you feel because you give. Am I right about it? Romans 3:23 says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not that much. You're not that much. You're really not as cute as you think you are. You're really not as bad as you think you are. You're really not as awesome as you think you are. And don't get mad at me because I say it. Get mad of God, because God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Touch your neighbor and say, you fell short. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin. I wish I had a real church. They didn't give me a lot of time this Sunday, but the wages of sin is death. That's that condemnation working against us again because of the divine guilty verdict. Now we die both physically and spiritually. Romans 14 and 12 says, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. So what are we to do? We're condemned with a damnation that we didn't cause. The Bible says we were born in iniquity and shaped in sin. Touch your neighbor and say, you were born with it. No way to it. Ha. So if I'm born under the condemnation of God, how can I escape condemnation from God? If seeing that anything I do is considered unrighteous, if anything I say falls short of the glory of God, how then can I escape the condemnation that comes from God? Look at Romans 5, 18 and 19. Let's work it through, and that'll be the message. Here it is. 5, 18 says, as through one man, and if you're taking note, write Adam. As through one man, offense. If you're taking note, in parentheses, write disobedience. One man, Adam. His offense, disobedience. Here it is. Judgment came to all men. If you're taking notes, write condemnation. That was the judgment. What is condemnation? The divine guilty verdict. So now you got judgment came to all men. Then he says, even so through one man's, and if your Bible is like my Bible, the word man is capitalized. And to all of my good Bible study students, anytime you see a pronoun capitalized in the Bible, it refers to who? It refers to God. So here, through one man, and that man is Christ Jesus, the righteous act, if you're taking note, the righteous act is his sinless death on Calvary's cross. That's the righteous act. The free gift is what? Salvation, right? We didn't do anything to earn it. It was the free gift that comes, and it comes to what? To all men, resulting in justification of life. Verse 19, and we're almost done. For by one man's disobedience, look at someone and say, Adam, many were made sinners. Now look up and take your finger and just say, everybody. That's Ebonics for everybody. I know y'all get ready to have back to school and all, but that's Ebonics. We got to keep a little Ebonics in. So everybody has been made a sinner. That's why the word of God said all have come short. That's why I say we have all been created in sin, shaped in iniquity. Why? Because of one man's disobedience, we have all been made sinners. But if that part of the equation is true, then so is the second part, which says, so also by one man's obedience. Look at somebody and say, Christ Jesus. Many. If you get this, you got the whole sermon. Many. Many. Watch this. Look at me. It does not say all. All were made sinners. But because of the free gift, many, not all, will what? Be made righteous. And that means placed in right standing with God. That means we get a second chance to go before the judge. And this time when we stand before the judge, it will not be our righteous acts that we offer up into evidence, but it will be the righteous act of God's only begotten Son. It will not be my blood that I offer up, but it'll be the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll be not my sins that are reported to the judge, but the resurrecting power of Christ himself. And when I stand before Christ, I have an advocate. I have a lawyer that represents me
me in the high court of God. And when my case comes before the righteous judge, who shall judge both the living and the dead, when it calls my name, when my docket is pulled, my advocate, who by the way is also my high priest, shall stand and say, sacrifice has already been made. The blood of the Lamb has already been shed. And though I was once a sinner, we have been saved by grace. Therefore, no
but you can only receive the release of condemnation if you abide in Christ. Ask your neighbor, say, are you in? Yeah, you got to get in on this, man. You got to get in on this. If you want to escape the condemnation of God, you've got to abide in Christ Jesus. Ask your neighbor, say, how you get in, man? Romans 10 and 13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Romans 10 and 9 said, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Romans 6, 23 said, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, touch your neighbor, so it's Christmas in July. I got a free gift. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. But 2,000 years ago, Christ died for my sin. 2,000 years ago, Christ died for my sins. And now, there is, therefore, no condemnation. I'm glad for the comfort, and I need the consolation. But what I'm most excited about is that there is, therefore, now, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, are you in? Get in on this deal. Get in on this free gift. It's a limited time offer. If you wait till it comes again, it'll be too late. If you wait until suddenly comes, it'll be too late. But today, you hear the voice of God. Harden not your heart. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of his death, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know what the condemnation is? The condemnation is when you feel unworthy of God's love. I can stand up here all day and preach till I fall out on the floor about the love of God. And guess what? It won't matter. Because if you live under the condemnation, you always feel unworthy. You always look at someone else. So I see why God saved them. I see why God's working in her life. I see why God's blessing them there. But that's them, that's not me. God won't bless me, I'm not a pastor. God won't bless me, I'm not in the ministry. God, what God does is for everyone else, but not me. And you know what happens when you're under condemnation? You don't pray. The most important prayer is you never pray the prayer of repentance. Simply because you feel what? Unworthy. You feel guilty in your spirit. And every time you get on your knees to pray, here comes your adversary. And all he ever does is play back in your mind the things you've already done. And as soon as you see him flash across the big screen, you'd be like, what's the use? If God knows everything, that means he knows the stuff I've already done. God knows everything. He knows the places I've already been. If God knows everything, watch this. He knows how I really got this job. No one at the church knows because I didn't tell them. I just danced about it. I didn't tell them how I got it. But if God's God, God knows. And so we're, instead of praying freely and openly because of condemnation, because of feeling guilty, you don't. You never pray the prayer of repentance. You never pray the prayer for God's help. You never ask for God's comfort. You never receive any of God's consolation. And you live and die under condemnation. That's why a message like this is so important. It helps you to understand that God himself has paid the price for condemnation. And if you read Romans chapters 1 through 7, all you do is go downhill. It starts out bad and it gets worse. That's why when Paul gets to verse chapter 8, he's like, oh my God, it's like the light went off. He said, in spite of the law, in spite of what I fell short, in spite of this, in spite of being guilty, in spite of the wages, in spite of all of that, there is therefore now no condemnation. I can get out from under all of it. I can get rid of this guilty conscience. I can get rid of this guilty spirit. I can get rid of this guilty feeling. And just step into the light of his love. And remind myself that there is therefore now no condemnation. You know, I know. Yeah, we had the baby outside of marriage. Not God's will, not God's plan. I'm under condemnation. But now that I've had the word of God, not only am I blessed, I know that my offspring is blessed, even though it was born out of disobedience. But because of one man's obedience, wherefore I was once condemned under God's law, I am now made righteous of God's law. And not only am I blessed, my son is blessed, my daughter blessed. Why? Because there is therefore no condemnation. And all you have to do to receive it is accept the free gift. That's all you got to do. Say, here am I, Lord. I accept your free gift. I believe in you as my personal Savior. And I accept the presence of your Holy Spirit now living inside of me. And I now accept the hope that you give every believer, that when you return, we shall be made like you. Amen. One day, we'll take off this mortality, put on immortality. One day, we'll take off this corruptible flesh and put on incorruptibility. And in a moment, as fast as it takes to blink one eye, the Bible said we shall all be changed and we'll be like him. If you're here this Sunday and you receive the innocent verdict, no longer guilty. Remember the Barb's hair old song, Barb and her mom. Remember James Cleveland, Jesus dropped the charges. That's what he did. Look, it's not biblical, but it is good theology. Because what? He dropped the charges. Now, I'm a pastor, let me do it right. The reality is, he did not drop the charges. The truth is what? Christ paid it all. So no one's getting off. Somebody still had to pay God what is due. It's just that you and I didn't pay him. What? His son paid the price. Shall we all stand? What would it be like to live with no condemnation? What would it be like to be able to go down to pray and feel comfortable praying? You ever gone to pray and when you went to pray for something, you stopped because you said, no real need to pray for that. I got myself into that. No need to ask God to help me out of it. I made that mistake on my own. Go to pray about this and now, before you realize it, you're up off your feet and you don't ever pray. You never offer a word to God. When God himself said, look, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy. Here it is. Where does the weight come from? You know what the weight is? It is the weight of a guilty conscience. And the enemy keeps throwing more and more and more weight. No matter how guilty you were last week, he makes you feel more guilty this week. And I'm here to tell you, as your pastor this Sunday, you can get out from under that weight. It is not God's will for you to live under that guilt. He died to save you from that guilt, to bring you out from under that pressure. So he said, if you're going to take the comfort, if you're going to receive the consolation, he said, I want you to make sure that you get out from under this condemnation. Because it's killing you. It's killing your life. It's killing your ministry. It's killing your hopes, your dreams. You know, one of the leading reasons for people who achieve success, one of the leading causes, you listen to their story, it often boils down to one thing. Somebody told me I could do it. Somebody, and just when they said it, the way it how it just sparked just enough confidence that they pushed through every obstacle. They fought their way through every setback. Why? All because someone took the guilt off of them. They already had a long list of people who said they couldn't do it. You're too young, you're too old, you're too black, you're too white, you're too much of a woman, you're too much of a man. And the list is long of the guilty pressure. But Christ comes along and says, look, I've wiped the slate clean. There's no condemnation. You're free to live and to go forward and to do all. You know what they told Joshua? They said, Joshua, do all that is in your heart. Israel got behind Joshua. They said, Joshua, go for it. Wherever you go, we'll go with you. Do you know what that does to a person to have that kind of confidence put behind you? In like manner, Christ says, there's no condemnation. Don't worry about that stuff anymore. The only thing you have to do is receive this free gift. Come on. That's what's offering today. Like I told you in the sermon, it's a limited time offer. If you're here this Sunday and you're living under the guilt and under condemnation,